Ladies, thank you so much for that blessing and song. You know, I think I got a pretty good sense of who I am and what I've meant to do in life, but I've never once felt called to start a newspaper. But if I did, I think I'd call it, "Here's What to Worry About Today." Right there on the front page, the header, each and every day. Here's what to worry about today. Whether it's opening your paper, watching the news, or scrolling through social media, it seems like there's a never-ending stream of worrisome news to read about and obsess over. I mean, sure, there's plenty of good news happening in our world today, but you'd struggle to find it thanks to our obsession with negative news, views, and commentary. You ever stop to wonder why that is? Well, it turns out you and I might be the ones to blame for all of it. For you see, a study published in 2019 suggests that, on average, people pay more attention to negative news than positive news. These findings, published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, speculate that this human bias towards negative news might be one of the prevailing reasons why our media feeds us a steady diet of bad news. Because we're prone to worry as humans, and we seemingly need new things to worry about each and every day. Not only that, but because of our fallen human nature, we gravitate towards news coverage that only validates our existing viewpoints and assumptions about the world as well. We don't want to be challenged by objective facts and analysis. We simply want to be validated in our beliefs so that we can feel free to judge whomever and whatever we want. Worry and judgment. Worry and judgment. You don't have to be a genius to figure out that our appetite for these things is beyond unhealthy. In fact, it's harmful. It's destructive. It's downright sinful. For you see, worry robs us of peace and joy. And judgmental attitudes prevent us from being loved and loving others. When we allow worry and judgmental attitudes to take root in our lives and bear fruit, they create a toxic environment in which faith, hope, and love struggle to survive, let alone thrive. That's why Jesus spends so much time speaking about these problems throughout Matthew 6 and 7. Because while it seems we're always on the hunt for and on the lookout for external dangers that threaten our faith, we're hesitant at times to look inward and identify the seemingly harmless things that impact our own faith on an even greater scale. That's what Jesus wants us to understand. It's not enough to simply follow him and go where he goes. It's not enough to just emulate his actions or echo his words. To join Jesus' adventure, to take him up on that wonderful invitation to come and follow me and to be my disciple, we need that inner peace that comes by faith alone in order to live at peace with God, others, and even ourselves. Even when it seems like everything's going to hell, we can find and nurture that peace in our lives. But to do so, we've got to confront the toxic problems which prevent us from living at peace with God, others, and ourselves. We've got to confront those problems. And as we study Jesus' words today and consider the real damage done in our lives by worry and judgmental attitudes, let's be unafraid to address and confess our sins and to seek healing. After all, that's how we find true, lasting peace. By repenting of the things that prevent it and committing ourselves to the one who is our peace, now and forevermore. As we prepare to confront these toxic problems together, let's begin by better understanding the context for today's scripture out of Matthew 6 and 7. For several weeks now, we've been working our way through the Sermon on the Mount, that long, uninterrupted series of teachings through which Jesus shows us how to live a full and faithful life. And already along this journey, we've been transformed by the series of blessings contained in the Beatitudes and the calling we receive to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. But Christ understands that those blessings and that calling, well, all those things can be hindered by the worries of the world, which cause us to lose faith and to even doubt the promises of God. Jesus also understood that a faith that failed to confront the judgmental attitudes of its followers would fail in its mission to transform hearts and minds. As he encountered closed-minded religious leaders like the Pharisees, Jesus saw how easy it was for the most faithful of people to point their fingers at others rather than themselves. What kind of a witness would finger pointers obsessed with worry and stricken by doubt provide for the world? What good would such people serve in God's kingdom? These questions were undoubtedly of great concern to Christ, and they remain so for us today. Because if our hearts are too open, they're exposed to every kind of worry and doubt the world can throw our way. But if they're too closed off, nothing, not even the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ, can find its way in. Our hearts and souls weren't meant to exist on either end of this spectrum. Instead, they were meant to rest in the middle, where true peace can be found. A peace that allows us to weather the storms of life without shutting ourselves off from the rest of the world. A peace that allows us to find forgiveness and contentment with ourselves, others, and God. Such peace has always been highly sought after by our world. And while many have offered it at all kinds of prices, the only way to truly find it is by surrendering yourself to the amazing grace and abundant love of Jesus Christ. He's the strong anchor who holds us steady in the strongest of storms. He's the wise counselor who takes our crooked fingers and points them back at ourselves towards the problems that really need addressing in our lives. One of the more difficult truths about our life with Christ is that he can be our peace while also making us really uncomfortable. And that uncomfortableness comes from confronting the toxic problems caused by sin that we just rather pretend don't exist to begin with. After all, I don't think any of us want to look in the mirror to see our imperfections. Rather, we want to see what's good about ourselves and work to cover up what's not. We fool ourselves into thinking that our problems aren't really problems, and if they are, well, we can simply choose to deal with them another day. Well, throughout Matthew 6 and 7, Jesus is calling us to be radically present in the here and now, not only so that we can enjoy the fullness of life today, but so that we can see our sins for what they truly are, and so that we can run for them before they have the chance to ruin our tomorrows. That makes me think of one of the great lies that we buy into as a society. The great lie that there's always going to be more time. More time to get right with God. More time to be the spouse or the parent or even the grandparent I need to be. More time to make a meaningful impact in my church, my community, my world. Friends, there's always going to be time, more time for everything you can possibly imagine if you keep thinking that tomorrow is more important than today. But y'all, today is all we have. Today is all any of us are guaranteed. So why delay the joy that you could be experiencing today? Why put off the problems that are weighing you down for another day when you could find relief right here, right now? Apart from God's help, we're left to bear these burdens on our own, ruining whatever today's and tomorrow's were given. But with God's help, given to us through the person and work of Jesus Christ, our burdens are not ours to carry alone. As Jesus tells us in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When was the last time you gave Christ a burden to carry? When was the last time you confessed a sin that was weighing you down? When was the last time you left your pride at the door and pleaded with Christ to transform part of your heart, mind, or soul? Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. That's what we have found and will always find in Jesus, for he is a well that will never run dry and an anchor to see us through every storm. But to experience that lasting peace and assurance, to join Jesus on his adventure that shows us how to live that full, free, and faithful life, we need the inner peace that comes by faith alone in order for us to live at peace with God, others, and even ourselves. And that peace is shared with us through Christ, who time and time again demonstrates the profound truths that God is with us and that he'll care for us no matter what. When all we're used to are the heavy burdens, worries, and judgments of this world, the easy yoke of Jesus offers miraculous relief, the likes of which we can't find anywhere else. But that yoke, that relief, to be transformed by it, we must learn a new way, as all of our ways lead only to one place. They lead us to ruin. In Matthew 11:29, Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you," and then what else? "And learn from me." Part of living a free, full, and faithful life involves admitting to God, others, and even ourselves that Jesus knows what's best for us better than we do ourselves. It involves laying down our lives at the foot of the cross and picking up the mantle of our Messiah. As we confront all these toxic problems created by sin, re-educating ourselves is one of the greatest tasks and hardest challenges for us to undertake. After all, we're attempting to relearn how to think, how to live, how to view others, and how to constantly seek a way far better than our own. So often, as a church and as a body of Christians around the world, we focus on the ministry of reconciliation and all the outward ways that we can live out the gospel to other people. But when we read passages like the Sermon on the Mount, we're struck by the amount of introspection that Christ calls us to on a daily basis. And that's not something we're always comfortable with, because it demands honesty and commitment. Two qualities that I'm not quite sure humans are exactly known for. Yet even so, we've got to remember that in order to find peace with God and ourselves, we've got to do that first, that introspection and that commitment and that honesty, before we can ever truly claim to share anything worthwhile or peaceful with other people. We have to do the work in here first before we can do the work out there. With that in mind, there's three things we can all do to confront the toxic problems which plague our witness and prevent peace from taking root. First, you need to admit the things you don't want to admit. You need to admit the things you don't want to admit. Toxic problems stay toxic problems when we refuse to admit they exist. Because in that act of refusal, we deceive ourselves into thinking that our problems aren't what they truly are. We simply make excuses for our behaviors and the things we say and the things we do. We play it off casually, even with humor sometimes. When confronted, we downplay the negative impacts of our behavior and accuse others of exaggerating their cause for concern. I believe we have a problem with admitting our problems, Because we don't want other people to see us as flawed. We don't want to be seen as vulnerable or weak. Because our world conditioned us to think this way because it values strength. Right? Kill or be killed. Fight or flight. Stand or surrender. But is that where real strength comes from? Is that how lasting peace can really be found? Well, Jesus says to that question, no. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, Jesus says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Admitting our problems isn't the first sign of weakness. Rather, it's the first step towards healing, hope, and lasting peace. A peace which comes by faith alone when we confess our sins to Christ and ask for His forgiveness. As we're reminded in Proverbs 28, verses 13 and 14, whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Blessed is the one who always trembles before God, but whoever hardens their hearts falls into trouble. Second thing is this. You need to pray about your problems and how to fix them. Part of following Jesus involves recognizing that He knows what's better for us, better than we do ourselves. Through the act of prayer, we can come before the Lord and ask for His guidance and His help and His deliverance. And while we can rest assured that God will hear and respond to our prayers, we're often surprised when those responses demand something of us in return. Things like sacrifice, commitment, and repentance. A lot of times we think that God should just give us whatever we want because we have a really warped view of what His love for us looks like. Other times we like to think through how we would go about fixing our problems, and we simply ask God to bless our plans without ever once turning to Him for guidance, support, and direction. As we confront all the toxic problems caused by sin, we've got to admit how ill-equipped we are to handle these problems and how overqualified Christ is to handle them on our behalf. And for that reason alone, we should always begin with prayer so that we can follow the Lord's prompting and not the other way around. For in the simple act of prayer, we find not only the direction we need for our lives, but sometimes prayer itself provides the peace we so desperately crave. As we're reminded in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, don't be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The third thing we all need to do is this. We need to commit ourselves to finding and nurturing peace every day. If you've been around long enough, it's no surprise how cruel and chaotic our world can be. But even so, if we look and work hard enough, we can experience peace each and every day. And this comes through nurturing the peace given to us by Christ, a peace that transcends all understanding. This peace keeps us from straying into seas of doubt, and it prevents us from drowning in wave after wave of worry. And it also keeps us from fostering hostility and conflict by redirecting the energy that we normally set aside for judgmental attitudes and actions. Sadly, though, it's when we stop nurturing this peace on a daily basis that things really start to go off the rails. For without purposeful commitment, we default to our destructive habits and toxic problems that lead us further and further away from peace with God, others, and ourselves. In order to live out our calling, in order to receive the blessings of a faithful life, we have to have commitment. a commitment to finding, nurturing, and sharing peace. Otherwise, all those toxic problems and persistent sins will sneak right back in again. Peace is a gift. It's a gift we receive. It's a blessing that enhances not only our quality of life, but the quality of life of those around us as well. But to receive that gift and nurture it like Christ nurtures the flame of his light in our hearts, it takes commitment. It takes commitment to confront and challenge the toxic problems that seek to ensnare us. It takes commitment each and every day to choose Christ's way rather than our own. It takes commitment to see the chaos of the world and remember that no matter how big our problems may be, our God is always bigger. As we begin to wrap things up, let's remember that in order to join Jesus' adventure, we need the inner peace that comes by faith alone so that we can live at peace with God, others, and ourselves. That peace can't be found by worrying because in the end, where does worrying get you? That peace can't be found by doubting the promises of God because in the end, each and every one of those promises is going to remain true whether you believe in them or not. And that peace can't be found by judging others because tearing others down is never going to make you feel better about yourself. So as we close, this peace that we all search and long for, this peace that can transcend all of our toxic problems and create in us a clean heart, that peace is found through daily acts of commitment and surrender, where we actively choose God's way rather than our own. Every day, you and I have the choice to remain tethered to our toxic problems or to rise out of the grave of Jesus and to live a life of peace, a life of victory, a life worth living. What will you choose? Let's pray together. God, we pray today that you would grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, courage to change the things we can, and wisdom to know the difference. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we reflect on our own sinfulness and in God's exceeding and abundant love for us and his willingness to transform our hearts and minds to live at peace with him, others, and ourselves, we extend that same invitation of peace to you this morning. If this is the day that the Lord is leading you to come and place your everlasting faith, hope, and trust in him, to experience that transformation we've been talking about this morning, during our final song, I'll be down at the front to receive you and pray with you and celebrate with you, as will our entire church. And this is also a day that the Lord is leading you to join the Fellowship of Forest Hills. We ask you to come down during this time coming up and to affirm and celebrate that decision, as we will do likewise with you. But however the Lord is leading on your heart to respond to him and experience his peace.